Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Come Alive edition. Here are your hosts for today, Paul Galoro and Catherine Stilo.
Oh, so we're recording this in the energy of the full moon, by the way.
Oh my God.
So that explains a little bit of, we had a conversation. Hello, listeners. We had a conversation a little bit before. So I just thought I would mention that. How are you, Catherine?
Just the fact that you pointed that out now, it's like, that explains why I'm like absolutely crazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that
is, how did you sleep last night?
I was okay last night, but the night before, not so much. And my partner, John, he's been feeling the couple of days before the full moon. Yeah. I also woke up like wide awake at 5 o'clock this morning. And I was I'm like, well, okay, you know, I'm just going to get up.
The moon was exact. Like the moon, the full moon was exact at about four in like the first half hour of the 4 a.m. hour this morning. Oh. So you may have been feeling that like that intensity and then, and then, you know, by 5 in the morning, we're already going into the waning phase. So, this morning I mean, I woke up the same. I woke up like, just like my eyes shot open. I was like, okay, let's get this day started. And I mean, I'm very slow moving. I can feel it. I have a low grade headache, though our conversation before we hit record has helped that dissipate. So Gemini is an air sign. So it's all about like the mind stuff, right? Gemini is also a communicator. So words and all of that, which is, you know, the upper chakra area. So that totally makes sense. But here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Okay. Also, this is our last episode of 2023.
Amazing.
Okay. Can we just like reflect for a brief moment? How proud of us I am. How proud of us I am. Is that English? Does that make sense?
It made sense to me, but okay. I mean, we're always on that weird wavelength.
As so. I said that, I was like, am I putting these words in the right order? I'm just very proud of us for doing this. And I want to thank you for being on this journey with me because I love doing this. I love our Come Alive original 12 episode series that we did. I love the way we've taken the Come Alive segment or podcast episodes of the Living Spiritfully podcast and where we've taken them and just the conversations that we've been having. So thank you for a wonderful 23, and I'm giddy for 24.
I'm excited too. I thought of when you were explaining that, I was like, it's like Come Alive Classic and it's like Come Alive, New Come Alive.
Yeah.
Under the banner of Living Spiritfully podcast. Yeah, and totally. Just to clarify, it's the last Come Alive episode edition.
Right.
Not the last episode of the podcast because there's something special coming up.
Yes, there is something special coming up. And we still have the Heart to Heart episode that's going to be happening next week. And then the week after we have the Living Spiritfully podcast. And then.
Yes.
We'll tell you more about that in the future.
Yes, so there's lots to come. So
thank you. Thank you for everything
thank
that
you
are and everything that you bring to the podcast because I just love it.
This is fun. It really is our passion project.
Yeah,
like
it is.
Like I get charged from having these conversations. So
yeah, same, same.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about this week?
Wow, there's so much that we could talk about. Where should we venture first? Sagittarius season?
I was just going to say, happy Sagittarius season. Let's talk about that. I tend to do this and I like when we get together, we start talking about, we went deep into Scorpio season, but as a Scorpio and someone with Scorpio, or I'm not a Scorpio, excuse me. My sun sign is Leo, but someone with placements in Scorpio and deep Scorpio tendencies, I can just kind of curl up there and stay there forever. But dark. We went pretty deep.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of feedback and I don't know if you saw the comments that came in on the YouTube comments. People were talking about that episode and how it touched them and how they They really responded to the idea that we talked about of acknowledging and actually going through the grieving process, but not getting stuck there. Mm-hmm. That was like a common theme that a lot of people noticed.
Mm-hmm. I did see some of those comments. Yeah. And I'm so glad because, you know, in addition to us just getting a charge out of this conversation, my intention is it, like, if just one person, even just one person is moved or it illuminates something for even just one person, then I feel, yeah. I feel like I've like made this world a little bit brighter.
Totally. I mean, that's just like a perfect kind of segue, I think, to talk about Sagittarius, because what I love about Sagittarius is it reminds us that yes, those darkest days are there, but the light will come.
Yes.
The light always comes back. And that's reflected in nature. We're going to talk about this because we have to have a follow-up to our summer solstice conversation that we had 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But the winter solstice, which is the longest night of the year, the most amount of nighttime that we experience. And we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, that the whole symbolism with the solstice, it reappears in many different belief systems of the world. But this idea that the sun, it's at the lowest point in the horizon for us here in the Northern Hemisphere. So back in the day, I'm talking, you know, ancient times, they looked at that as the death of the sun, but then there was also always the rebirth part that comes. And this is why, you know, Christmas time, we decorate trees. This comes from the pagan tradition of decorating things to look beautiful and bright in the dead of winter kind of stuff. So Sagittarius, I just really love that it is that reminder of hope and optimism. And the Sagittarius archetype is very optimistic and enthusiastic. And it's a fire sign, right? Like you and I, Leos,
yes.
That fire is like crackling. And it's because Sagittarius is also a mutable sign, it's that transformative fire. So mm-hmm. it can go from what it needs to be into the next thing, mm-hmm. Which is, anyways, me going on about that. So that's what I love about Sagittarius.
Oh, what I love. So first of all, I'm like totally feeling the full moon energy. I keep feeling myself being pulled out of my body and I have to like land like back in it. Like, so I'm like, okay, let's ground. But we had just touched on before we started our recording the podcast, how I've actually felt this shift in my life. I always find it interesting that what I'm feeling, and then I hear the explanation about what's happening as you know, things change in the heavens and different things move. I always find it interesting that it's like, oh, okay, isn't that interesting that I'm feeling exactly what they're describing? So
yeah.
The things that I've been feeling are like, I've felt this shift of moving and I have been doing some work, like kind of going deep into shadow, which I think we'll probably touch on, but deep into exploring these dark places. And I felt this shift, and interestingly, it coincided with Sagittarius season, and I moved out of that energy and then felt this lightness, this brightness, this optimism come. And then as it always happens, I was listening to, I was on the Shift Network Shamanic Wisdom Summit. And one of the speakers there, one of the facilitators said that the time of suffering is over, that there is richness and beauty in the suffering, and there's much to learn and gain from that. But we're at a time now where that's done and we're moving into bliss. Yes. So and there's just as much richness and beauty in experiencing that as well. So I've actually like notice the shift in myself.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And thank you for that, because this comes up a lot in A Course in Miracles. It talks about how, you know, our existence here on Earth is a school. We're here to learn lessons. and the curriculum is already decided for you. The curriculum is already decided for me. We don't get to determine the curriculum. The only thing that we get to choose is if we're going to learn the lesson through joy or through suffering. And I think we've talked about that before. I mean, listen, going through some hardship, losing a loved one, losing your job, loss isn't like a time to go skip down the road and, kick your heels up. And we talked about this before, but there is a sense, and what I love about Sagittarius is the reminder of even in those dark times, that optimism is beneath it saying, I'm feeling this now, and I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to grow from this, and it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Like, I mean, it is getting better. That's what I love about that. And I love that where you're saying we're shifting out of that suffering and into this place of bliss and joy because that's really the truth of who we are. We talk about this all the time. How do you come alive? Is how do you tap into that blissful, joyful state that is us?
And I think the thing that I have to remind myself of is doing it in balance, because when we were talking about Sagittarius, the shadow of Sagittarius as we're moving into this brightness is to get so caught up in the enthusiasm and then overcommit, which I noticed in myself that all like as I shifted into this new energy, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God. And there's all these like courses and programs that I want to take. And I started to be like, oh, this one, this one, this. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe we'll chunk this out. Like, and they're all like all the ones I was looking at were self-paced, but I'm like, okay, I can only do so many self-paced studies at once before I'm overwhelmed. So it's also funny to watch the shadow creep up in that, right?
You know, it's the as you're talking, this came to me because so with Scorpio, and even if we look at nature, what's happening? That's the death period. That's the things where, okay, everything's coming down. We're going now into the earth. And Sagittarius, I see as the reminder of, okay, keep that optimism, keep that hope, keep that fire, keep that light in the darkness, because then we're going to get into Capricorn season. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but Capricorn season is, okay, now let's get to work. Right, Capricorn is now let's set the structure. You had all these wonderful ideas. Sagittarius, the archer is the imagery used. The archer goes out into the world, loves adventure, seeks new horizons, is looking for that new thing, right? So Scorpio tells us, okay, everything dies, but keep that hope, that optimism. All these ideas are going to flood to us. And then Capricorn's going to say, okay, let's get to work. That goat fish is that's the imagery of of Capricorn. That goat fish says, all right, we want to get to the top of this mountain for the highest vantage point of what we can see and what we want to see in life. So it's like, yes, have that optimism, but we're going to get to work soon. So just know that that's coming. And what you said there just kind of made me remember that all these ideas are going to flood to us, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to organize them, or we're going to create some structure so that in the next little year, when and especially in a few months, when things start to come to life again, the seeds that we're getting ready to plant, we start to prepare that now. Now, let me ask you this question. How is that? How does that, so you as a farmer with permaculture and everything, is there a parallel between like are you guys starting to think, ooh, what are we going to plant in our garden next year? Or what are we going to, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. So yes, there is a time where we start to think, what are we going to do next year? I watch like being so close to the land and in harmony with like what's going on, like really watching like, oh, the wind is changing and oh, the all these different shifts. We really find at this time of year, because we've just come out of like harvest, which is intense. And then we move right from harvest into winterizing, where we're pulling in all the things that can't be outside and freeze. And so there's this real like it's funny how the cycles go in like terms of like full on and then like ease off and then full on, and then we're in that ease off and we're really looking forward to this period where it's like the hibernation. So yeah, we go into hibernation, we curl up, we rest, we do all those things that we didn't get to do when things needed immediate attention, because it's, I find that this life is different. Like, it's not like you can put something off if it needs to be done. If the fence where the chickens are broke, like that is what you're doing that day, 'cause it can't wait.
Yeah.
If something is ripe and needs to be harvested, it cannot wait, because the next day it's not going to be at the same place. There's a potential that you have losses. So it really needs attention right away. So it takes, that's why then I love this period where it's like, ooh, now there's like nothing to do because the weather starts to set in. We really can't do anything outside. And so it is that period to really hibernate and go into rest and renewal for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, you know, after we kind of notice it around, maybe I'm thinking mid-January, it creeps in, like cabin fever starts creeping. We're like, oh my God, like, okay, I'm like so done with like holding up and hibernating. And that's when we start to go, okay, what are we going to plant now? What is it going to look like? And that's when we start to move into that.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is it's not like the timing isn't exact, but the pattern is still there, because they're like that. To me, that hibernation is that going in, is like there is the transformative part in there. Although you're not dying, there's not like a big change. You are going inward, and Scorpio is an inward sign, so that's happening. And then it gets to the point where you're like, okay, it's time to start thinking about what is going to happen next. And even though that happens outside of Sagittarius season, that's the thing. Just like with Ayurveda, how Kapha, Vata, Pitta, those three elements exist in everything all the time, everywhere. Yes. It's the same with astrology. Sagittarius, that energy still exists all year round. Whether the sun was in Sagittarius when you were born or not, that archetype still exists with you in some way. Some of us, it's easy to tap into. Some of us, it's not. So it's beautiful to me that pattern still exists in everything. Mm-hmm. It just is different timing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's such a beauty when we harmonize with the rhythms, whether it's the earth rhythms or the astrological rhythms. Like, it really brings a new richness to life. And
yeah.
Do you want to talk about retrograde, Mercury retrograde coming up? Because speaking of harmonizing with, yeah.
God. Okay. You know, I was just thinking that, I was like, while you were talking, I'm like, let me see what she's going to say so I can segue into retrograde. And then what do you say? You just basically did it. Yes. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Because, I mean, right now, the time that we're recording this, but also the time that it comes out, we are 1 week away from Mercury retrograde happening. And, the fact that we are talking about this in the Gemini full moon, Gemini is ruled by Mercury. So we've got the Mercury influence in this period of time that we're in right now. But we're in the pre-shadow. So from the 25th of November up until, I don't know the exact date that Mercury goes retrograde. I think it's the 12th. Yes, you have it written here, the 12th. So from the 25th to the 12th, that's the pre-retrograde shadow. So this is the time to pay attention. You were talking about earlier, just like watching everything. This is the time to pay attention to your thoughts, pay attention to your communication, pay attention to your interactions, because anything that is off in this period may come up again and may be kind of foreshadowing us to see like what do I got to deal with? What do I got to work on? What do I got to revisit? What do I got to repair? What do I got to, you know, release? All of these kind of things in those last couple of weeks of 2023. Because Mercury will go direct, I think the 31st or the 1st is around like at the turn of the calendar year. So it's a beautiful way to kind of like end the year reflecting so that we can start moving forward once we flip the calendar.
Did you see the light bulb just go on in my face when
I
you
did?
Started
Tell me
talking?
everything.
So just reflecting back on what we were talking about before we got on the podcast, we're in pre-shadow. It's not surprising that something that was coming up for me is something from the past that I haven't really fully completely dealt with or released or whatever. So I was like, oh, that's why that's coming up again.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to add that I love how you explain Mercury retrograde, because at one point I didn't know anything about Mercury retrograde. I didn't even know it existed. And then I learned about Mercury retrograde, and I always, because I knew just a little bit about it, I had this deep fear of like, oh my God, Mercury retrograde, everything's going to go to, you know, like mess up and the communication's going to get screwed. Like I had this fear and this dread of it until you explained it and said, don't look at it like that. Look at it as a pattern disruptor. Look at it as an opportunity to look at those things from the past that are coming up and to revisit them from the new person that you are now. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, I actually welcome retrograde, because I'm like, okay, this is going to give me the chance, because I know, well, and yet I still get surprised by it, because here I am going, did you see the light bulb come on? So I still got surprised by it. But now that I reframe it, it's like, okay, that's coming up, so I can look at it again, so that I have an opportunity to disrupt that pattern and to step into the new me.
Absolutely. And another thing too, because remember, what's happening in the planets isn't influencing us, it's just reflecting what is possible down here. So yes, for people that are listening, they're like, oh my God, she had this light bulb moment on that day, I didn't. That's okay. It doesn't all hit us the same way. But it does, like when we look at it as these opportunities to reflect, the way I see it too is, because I can't say for your example, because I don't know what the future is going to bring in the next couple of days. But I just know from my experience, usually things that come up in that first part will come up again while Mercury is in fact retrograde. Me knowing, okay, this is just part of the process, this is just part of the thing, is different, because old me, if something were to come up again a couple weeks later, I would beat myself up. You're still on this. What's wrong with you? And I would spend all of that time in shaming myself for having those feelings, rather than, this is just the next step in whatever happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is just part of the process, but who I am in the middle of that process is going to change the outcome of the process. So if I stay in a place where I'm beating myself up, I'm just going to keep beating myself up out of the process, or I'll miss the opportunity and have to pick it up again later because I haven't dealt with it. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what I love about retrograde.
I absolutely love a couple things that you have said and clarified. One, that we're not at the whim of the planets, because and even looking at my language, probably just as we were talking about it,
same.
I was taught that's was my early introduction to astrology, is that we are at the fate of the planets and mm-hmm. they're just going to have their way with us. Until I started learning from you as you went deep into astrology, that no, we're not at the whim of the planets, but I still have a tendency to frame it as,
same,
the fates are going to decide us, right? But no, yeah, there's just this window of opportunity, and we can better align with the energies. And then the other thing that I love that you mentioned is about the beating the self up, right? Because I mean, I don't know if it's my upbringing or my heritage or whatever, but I have that tendency to, yeah, all of it. Come
it's
on.
All of it.
I have that tendency to beat myself up. Oh my God, Catherine, you, like, how much work have you done on yourself? How many courses have you taken? And you're still like, blah, blah, blah. And you're not past this and blah. Like, so I do have that tendency as well. And it reminded me of something that I heard on a podcast, and I can't remember the guest, but it was the Deja Blue podcast. But she said, look at that. When that happens, don't go into shame and beating the self up. Go into looking at it as either like a misbehaving puppy or like a misbehaving child. And it's like, oh, it's so cute. Look at you doing that again. Oh, look, I caught you. Isn't that cute? Right. Like, like even when puppies misbehave, it is like somewhat cute. Like it's I always found it adorable, even though it was like somewhat irritating at the same time. But it was like when I started to reframe it as, don't beat the self up, just go, oh, look, aren't you cute? Look at you doing that again. I caught you. Like, So that was a whole different way of looking at it.
And also I want to say, cause sometimes I catch myself too using that old language. I very similar about the, oh, the planets are making this happen. And it's like, yes and no, it's more just like a reflection of what's happening. And then also the way I see it is like, that's the weather. Like the planetary alignment is what right now, oh my, like literally I'm looking out my window, it's snowing right now. That's not changing my interaction with you, but it's happening. Now, if we were having this conversation outside in the snowstorm, the conversation would be different. Mm-hmm. So that's how I also see astrology. It's like, that's the astrological weather. And I might get swept up in that weather, or it might just pass me by, right? So it again, it's like, it's this energetic happening, but I still get to decide if I'm going out to dance in the rain or if I'm going to cry about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Or if it even affects me, because maybe it's snowing where I am. Maybe it's not snowing where you are.
It's bright and sunny. Like, I don't know if you just saw that shift of light. The sun is like shining right through. It's also remembering that, hey, if it's snowing outside or it's cold, I do things to make sure that I'm comfortable during that. And it's like, I put on a coat, I put on a hat, I put on mitts, and then it's actually enjoyable to be out in that snow and that cold because I'm prepared. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That to me, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So if I'm not prepared, if I go outside in a bikini, well, I wouldn't be in a bikini. I'd be naked.
I would love to see that.
But if I went outside naked,
Instagram-able. Right now, I'm gonna have a different.
But like, I would have a different experience, right? So I love that. It's how do you prepare yourself for that if you are in fact going to be out in there? That's why, like in Arise, when I talk and say, "Hey, the moon is here, the sun is doing this, Mercury is interacting with that," is I'm just telling people like, "This is the weather." When you go out and have your interactions, just be mindful of that. Yeah. Mercury's retrograde. Just be mindful that if there is a mix up or there's a miscommunication, I mean, you can get mad about it if you want, or you can put your gloves on, i.e. text the person and just say, hey, we still meeting at such a date, such a time, you know, do those sort of things. So I love that.
I think that's what I had done is like, I was like, oh, like why is this coming up again? Like, why am I having to deal? And then it was like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Get it. I get it. Now I'm just like, okay, this is just like, it just shifted things when it was like, it was like a little bit of relief and like, oh, it's just these things coming up again. The energy's at play. Yeah.
Totally. Cause like, I mean, for me, what I love about it, and I don't know how this turned into a conversation about what we love about astrology, but what I just, it gives me something like, cause I, as a neurodivergent mind body misfit, and I lump you in that too, as a misfit, like I'm always wanting, like I'm always looking at myself and wanting to better myself. What astrology does for me is it kind of just like focuses me, because I could be all things all at once and look at everything, but astrology just kind of says, okay, Paul, just focus on this one thing right now.
Yeah.
Like there's been a lot of Venus. Venus was calling me a year ago. I remember in December walking Dominic and just can't get Venus out of my head. I had a t-shirt made that said, what would Venus do? Because I was just obsessed. I wanted to learn about the mythology. I wanted to know everything about the planet itself, all of these things. And then as we went through the year, she went retrograde. So this was bringing us focus into relationship area. There's more stuff that's going to be happening into 2024 that I've really been focused on relationship and who I am in relationship. That's one aspect of how astrology, like how I use it just to like, okay, if I'm going to look at something, because I'm going to do it no matter what. Mm-hmm. This will just kind of give me a guide, a direction, like look over there, see what comes up. Okay, I'm going to go clean this area of my house.
Yeah.
Right. And then, okay, now look over there. Oh, now I'm going to go restructure this, or maybe this house, this room is empty, so I'm going to start decorating it. And that those are just like the different areas in our life that we pay attention to. So as I continue going deeper into my study of psychological astrology, I will be telling you a lot more. But yeah, thank you for...
Oh my gosh. As you were talking, that song Venus came into my head.
She's got it.
Yes, baby, she's got it. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire.
Your desire. I have this sudden urge to shave my legs now.
Nice. Awesome.
Do you get it?
I do.
The Venus, like, leg shaving commercial, like for the
Razors. Yeah. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, got it.
Full moon. I'm not always funny.
Yeah. I got it. It does give going back to the more serious portion of that. It does give the image that I got was like a spotlight. Like it focuses a spotlight on where to look now in the spirit of always wanting to be better and expanding. It's like, okay, focus on this. Like, here's the spotlight. If you focus on this area right now, you're moving with the energies in that expansive process. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Another thing that came to mind as we're talking about clarifying kind of things that we thought about astrology, things that we thought before we learned and then used it in a better way. The shadow, and it has to do with focusing light on things, right? So like shadow work, and especially as we move into solstice,
yes,
and we're going into the dark, to not be afraid of that, not be afraid of looking at the shadow. And I admit personally myself have been very reluctant. Now I have been diving more into shadow recently, but I was originally reluctant to do that because I had major misconceptions about what shadow work was. And because of the very term shadow work, it conjured up this like dark, almost sinister place that I like, whoa, man, I didn't want to go because like demons lurk there. And God, what am I conjuring when I do shadow work? And I recently, watched a video, and I think it might even be worth it to put the link in the
1000%.
Yeah. I watched this video on YouTube that clarified that no, hey, this shadow work is looking at any aspect of ourselves that we are unaware of. Mm. And it can even be positive. Like I didn't realize that a shadow can actually be something positive. And while we have more of a tendency to hide what we label negative aspects of ourselves, but again, nothing is negative. It's only to be worked through. You can also hide positive aspects because of what stories I was told as a child. And now that I think about it, I'll give a concrete example. It's like, when I was a child, I was told that I was too much, I was too loud, I was too expressive. To get the love in my family, I had to be the good girl and quiet and just follow along. That got programmed into me. Then I went into corporate and it was the same thing. It's like, you're too expressive, you're too much, you can't show that much emotion, you can't be that dramatic, like you've got to contain it. And at different points along the way, that got programmed in. Well, oh my God, that's a positive aspect of myself. My mm-hmm. expressiveness. And I even remember somebody giving me feedback that I was insincere, but I'm like, but I'm just expressive. That's my nature, is to be expressive. And I'm, you know, and I did actually appreciate that, because I didn't realize that it could be perceived as insincere. Cause I'm like, I'm just being me from my heart.
Yeah.
So that was a good piece of feedback. Cause I'm like, well, I definitely don't want to be insincere, nor did I ever think that I was, but it was something to look at. But it's also, so this was all the whole point about what shadow work actually is. It's looking at those aspects of ourselves that we have put into the shadow, whatever traits those are, whether they're the, you know, ones that are sadness, anger, and repressing those, or they can also be repressing our own joy and our own pleasure because we deem too much and too dramatic. Right. So this was like, this was hugely eye-opening, and I'm so grateful as we go into solstice and examining all this that I now am aware of that. And I'm like, wow, I can really use this to my advantage. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. You know, in astrology, the moon is very reflective of the shadow because the moon represents our unconscious. Mm-hmm. So the sun is our conscious awareness. Moon is unconscious. Mm-hmm. So when the moon and the sun are aligned, you don't see the moon. You don't see the shadow because the light is illuminated. But then once the moon does 180 degrees, is now on the other side of the earth, opposite of the sun, boom, now the sun is illuminating that which represents our unconscious. And that's what we see in the full moon. That's what's reflected back to us. That's why the full moon time, I think, can make people feel a little bit more, you know, it can conjure up a lot of energy because it's reflecting something back to us that normally we hide.
Yes.
Whether it's good or bad, right? Because if it's good, being seen is still like, because first of all, thank you for sharing that about your family upbringing and then into your corporate work, because that was very reflective of me as well. That was very similar to my experience. In the full moon, now all of a sudden, I mean, you and I will look at the moon and be like, ooh, that's so beautiful. But from a psychological perspective, holy shit, my shadow is out there for everybody to see.
Yeah.
And it creates an intensity within us that if we don't want people to see that part of ourselves, or we've been told not to show that part of ourselves, it can create a kind of feeling within. So I think
within ourselves, like having our own, having my own shadow illuminated to me is like, oh my God. Like, whoa. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
So, oh my God, what a conversation.
What a conversation is indeed. I mean, listen, we could keep going on forever. I almost feel like we need a part two and three of this.
I know.
Okay, so I've been telling everybody else already. They know what's coming up. I'm going to see you at our Christmas party at the end of the month.
Yes.
Good, you're coming by. Bring some tea. We're just going to have a chat. We're going to reflect. Yeah. And, you know, it will be after the solstice. So we can talk a little bit more about that. But really just brief, because, I mean, the solstice is going to happen when this is released. I think it's a week or two after, 2 weeks after. So really quick, any kind of a ritual or ceremony that you're going to be doing for solstice this year?
Oh, I love simple ritual, like just the lighting of a candle and the reflecting on the year that's passed, and giving gratitude for so many things, kind of a list of like 50 things that I am in gratitude and appreciation for. And then a little bit of like peeking ahead, but I kind of save that. So yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I normally do a lights out kind of situation from sundown to sunrise, no lights, no electronics, et cetera. But last year I did on the Wednesday night, last year, the solstice was on a Wednesday and I was teaching on a Wednesday. So I did I called it a midwinter's night or a midwinter's light. And it was a chakra dance party, basically. And so now my class this year has moved to my Wednesday night class is now on Thursdays. And the solstice is on the Thursday. So they've asked me to do it again. So I'll be doing that with the members of the gym that I teach at. So all of you in Barrie, come check us out at the Barrie Good Life Fitness Club. Time and date, you know, go into the club and ask them the questions. That's all being determined as we speak. But that's one thing that I'm going to do. And then once that's done, I'm going to go home and ground myself. And spend a little time in some darkness and contemplation of gratitude and what's to come. So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And since it is our last Come Alive edition episode, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you more alive now, December 2023, than you were when this year started?
Ooh, okay. Listeners, this is what I'm going to do, Catherine. Can I reflect on that? And can we talk about that when we together on for our thing? Because in a short answer, yes. And also there's more I want to kind of like lean into and feel that. But do you have something, like, how would you answer that question?
I am definitely more alive now in December. And actually what brought on the question was, like, a lot of the reason why I'm feeling more alive is because of that prioritizing ritual and making everything sacred, from drinking water to going to the bathroom to making the bed. Like, it all becomes a ritual of gratitude, of inviting in blessings, inviting in abundance. Clearing my energy field has been a big one for me. And I learned this. I'm just going to give a shout out to somebody that I've been working with, my spiritual mentor, Jen Abra, in the, it's called Spirit School, School of Mediumship and Psychic Development. So Jen has been, like, just amazing in really emphasizing consistency of practice and always being in that space. So anyway, she reminded me about the clearing of the energy field, and I was like, oh my God, you know, we get taught to wash our face and brush our teeth at least twice a day, but only people like Jen teach you, hey, you know what, you need to clear your energy field. And, like, my parents didn't teach me that. Like, I didn't get taught that in school. Like, it's not commonly taught. And since I've been doing it, I've actually been doing it, like, morning and bedtime. And then sometimes in the day, if I just feel like it just feels like I need clearing, I'll throw in another one, but I try to consistently twice a day. And that, I can't tell you what a difference that has made in feeling alive and feeling clearer and feeling like a more open channel.
Oh, I can definitely see that, because like, cleaning away all of that energetic debris will have a completely different, like, effect on you overall. So thank you for that reminder, because that's something that I haven't really done in the last little while, is clean my energy field. But listeners, I saved this because I'd like to put this out to all of you. Let us know, do you feel more alive now than you did in December 22? So reflect over the last 12 months. Do you feel more alive now? Send us an email. All of that contact stuff is going to be in the show's notes. Or if you're listening to this on Spotify, go to the "What do you think of this episode?" area. You can respond there. Or if you're listening to this or watching this on the YouTube, just throw it in the comment section if you feel comfortable, or send either myself or Catherine a direct message. And we'd love to know. And then Catherine will share I'll share anything that has come through when I meet you again for our Christmas year end.
Amazing.
Heart to heart. Because I love this question, and I want to say yes, and I want to reflect on why that is.
Yeah. And in those comments, I would really love to hear from people, is, you know, what's the answer, and then a qualification as to why or what things have you been incorporating in order to help that? Because I was like, oh, that's like, I'll incorporate that too. It's all about, like, when one of us comes alive, all of us come alive. And that's really where we're headed. So
yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. Oh, thank you for such a great episode, and I honestly feel completely different now than when we first got on this call. So thank you so much. I love you. Listeners, check out the show's notes. Catherine has the link in there for that video that she was talking about, plus all the ways that you can get in touch with us. We would love to know how you're feeling, if you're feeling more alive now than you did 12 months ago. And we'll see you all again. We got Jill Hewlett on the show next week. I'm having a heart-to-heart with Jill, all about brain fitness. And then the week after that, we will be back with our correspondents for more Living Spiritfully podcast. But until then, Catherine, take us home.
Remember, we are meant to thrive. How do you come alive?
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.